Well, hey, everybody. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome to today's podcast, man. I call you blessed. Friends, I want to encourage you guys to be sure and just keep track of me, all the stuff that we're doing, because it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. What an incredible day this is. Guys, I'm so glad that you're plugged into this, and I'm about to take you into a staff meeting at Open Door Church. You're like, oh, that sounds like fun. Oh, no, listen, I don't do no long, boring staff meetings. As a matter of fact, I only like a meeting if it's wildly productive. And if I'm like 10 minutes into the meeting and it's not productive, I'm like, hey guys, can we just do this some other time? Because I'm not getting anything out of this. I mean, I am very much a, if we're going to have a meeting, we got to get something done. That's it. I don't know if you guys have ever read the book, by the way, called Death by Meeting. And I very much subscribe to that. Like, oh, King Jesus, can we please just do something, right? I don't allow committees at Open Door Church. We don't have any committees whatsoever. Like, well, then how do you get anything done? We have teams of leaders and we all get together and I just say, what do you want to do? And I mean, I point blank ask everybody, what do you want to do? And they say, well, I need to do this or I need to do that. I'll say, okay, that sounds good to me. Let's do that. And so I love being surrounded by go-getters and by people who actually have a yes in their spirit. So guys, we're going to go into this. You're going to like this. Believe it or not, I'm actually talking about the four horsemen and how it works in the workplace. Here we go. So there's this, the paradox of wisdom and revelation is that there's not much revelation with wisdom. And that's all the Baptist churches all of us have come out of, right? Lots of wisdom, but very little revelation. And then the problem with revelation is the problem with all the charismatic churches we came out of, and that with revelation, there's not much wisdom. Okay? So what happens is, man, you're around Holy Ghost people who can't get anything accomplished, can't do anything to do but sit around and shake. And it makes me insane, okay? Also, I don't want to be around people that have no 10,000 Bible verses for a million things, but they don't do anything, right? They don't see signs and miracles and wonders. They don't see the Spirit of the Lord. They don't love each other. When they all get together, the Spirit of God doesn't move. They're just here for the sake of wisdom. Well, I'm not here just for the sake of wisdom. Wisdom and revelation have to go together. And this is the problem with every small church in the whole world, is that it will either have wisdom or it will have revelation, and it has to have both. It's the problem with every ineffective Christian. Wherever you're at in your walk with God and wherever you're hitting a ceiling, you either are operating on wisdom without revelation or you're operating in revelation without wisdom. Now, I operated in revelation without wisdom for decades and just went, no, I don't need any wisdom. I just need faith. And I really regret that. I really do. I regret that I didn't have strategies and plans. I tell Leanne and I was recording some podcasts yesterday. We did radio all day yesterday. And I was telling Leanne, you know, I'm just so sorry that I put us through so much poverty for so many years. And I really thought that that was faith. And it was faith. The Lord met me there in that place. It was. But we went through a lot of stuff that wasn't necessary. I just needed to have some wisdom. You know, I just needed to have that. And once I latched on to the wisdom thing and went, no, there's strategies and plans and you can put your hands on the steering wheels of things and you can make them work. And I'll tell you who taught that. It was a guy who stole $500,000 from me. And yet he gave me a whole lot more than what he actually stole from me. It changed my entire life. It totally changed everything for me. And of him just going, no, dude, No. You don't have to guess how this is going to show up or how this is going to work out. You can absolutely be determined and do the hard work that it takes to make it turn out a certain way. But he had zero revelation, zero. He wasn't a spirit-filled guy. He didn't, and I've seen this back and forth thing. And what needs to happen is these two need to work in tandem. And they don't contradict you. Well, those things contradict each other. No, it's a paradox. It's not a contradiction. And that's something that's really huge that you have to learn when it comes to walking and living a true prophetic life and living a true kingdom lifestyle is how to live in the paradox of several different things. Right on. I'm laying down my life, but I'm gaining life. Right? I'm always sitting in the seat that nobody ever wants to sit in, yet I'm highly favored of God and exalted above all others. Those things are not a contradiction. It's the paradox. And it's what you do. So the paradox of us having a successful ministry and us having a successful church is that first and foremost, we have to be encounter, we have to be real, we have to be full of the Holy Spirit, we have to be the heart of Jesus, we have to be the fulfillment of the Word of God, we have to be full of promises and hope, we have to live lives saying that we do not have to live a powerless life. We have to be full of hope and victory. We have to have the Spirit of the Lord move. We have to have the manifest presence. And I want to tell you what's real is we can do that at home by ourselves. If we're going to do that together, and if we're going to do that a way that spills into the lives of millions of people, we have to have that and not let go of it while we have wisdom. I wanted to just kind of share with you guys our business model. But before I share with you and make sure that you understand the wisdom of the business model here and what your place is in it. And before I get to that, let me tell you why you need to be aware of this. Okay. And it has to do with the four horsemen. I'm going to go all over the map today. You guys are just going to have to let me just do what I do and bring it all together. Okay. All right. So I'm doing a big study on the four horsemen. And one of the reasons I'm doing a study on the four horsemen is because of the rider on the white horse, the rider of the white horse who has a bow in his hand. And I'm going to unpack it, and I'm going to show you something that's going to blow your mind here in a minute, and what it has to do with our finances, and what it has to do with the culture of our house, and how all that works. Okay, so we know that by the time that you get to Revelation chapter 4, we've already had there was a door open in heaven, and I heard a voice say, come up here, which is the rapture of the church. Okay, so we've had the rapture of the church. I totally believe in a pre-trib rapture. And I want to tell you, it doesn't offend me if you do not believe that. I really don't care what anybody believes concerning that, but I absolutely believe it. And I also believe that you got to believe in it to be able to go. I think there's going to be a lot of Christians that will not experience a rapture because they're not looking for it. And I could spend the rest of the morning talking about that, which I'm not going to, but I think that the only way you qualify for the rapture is not if you're saved, but that if you specifically have oil for that event. There's a lot of things in the kingdom that God has reserved for the last days that you have to engage in that to be able to participate in it. And I think that a huge misinterpretation that everybody has done with understanding how the rapture of the church works is when he says there's two in the field and there's two in bed, everybody thinks that that's one Christian and that's a non-Christian. I don't think that at all. I do not think that. I don't think that every saved person qualifies for the rapture. And that's a whole nother thing that I'll get off into some other day. So we know that the rapture of the church has happened. Chapter 4 starts off after you get through chapter 1, 2, and 3, which goes off on the seven different churches. And then 4 says, okay, then everything changes at the fourth chapter. A door is opened in heaven and he hears a voice saying, come up here. Then he's called up. All right, so now I think that this begins now, right here. Now we're talking about the tribulation, all right, as far as the timeline of that goes. Whether that's 100% accurate or not, it doesn't matter. The principle is that now enter in the four horsemen. The four horsemen is the four-pronged attack of how the Antichrist completely rules the world during the seven-year tribulation. There's four different weapons that he uses. Now, all four of these weapons are an anti-type of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the one on a white horse, right, Pauline? Yeah, Pauline. What a great song that is, man. I listened to it yesterday. I pulled it up yesterday and listened to it over and over again. Yeah, so good. And so we know that Jesus is the one that shows up on a white horse. And we know that he also shows up with a bow. And it's incredible and it's awesome. And he shows up to conquer, right? We know that the next horse that follows the white horse is the red horse. And the red horse, the dude has a sword in his hand, and his whole theme is war. The third one is a black horse, and the black horse shows up, and he's got scales in his hand, which has to do with economy, okay? And he's like, no more economy. Nobody can buy or sell or anything, and it has to do with the famine of finances, okay? And then the fourth one is a pale horse, and he has nothing in his hands, and all he brings is untimely death, okay? That's what he brings. Okay, so the apex, this is the four-pronged attack of the Antichrist of how do I completely control the world is through these four different areas, okay? I can also tell you that if your world right now is controlled by the devil, it's because you're subject to these four different scenarios. This is not just, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are actually the four different ways that the devil uses to conquer everybody's world. And the first one is the guy on the white horse that shows up and says, this is gonna be a good thing, but it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. This is gonna bring life to you, but it doesn't bring life to you, it brings death to you. And by the way, you don't need the word of God, you need to let me control the narrative, okay? Now let me just, I'm gonna visit that here in just a second. What is the name of the virus that was sent out into the world this year? Okay, he was given a crown, right? Okay, and he has a bow in his hand, right? Do you know what the word for bow there is? It's toxin. Crazy thing. It's the only place in the entire Bible that anybody interprets the word toxic as a bow. I don't know why the King James boys did that, but it's held the standard throughout the years, even into other translations. But the word is toxin, T-O-X-O-N, that we translate as bow. Again, I just want to just challenge you, if you come from a King James background and you think that the King James is the infallible word of God, no, it is not. It's just as screwed up as any other translation. It's a great translation, but you still have to look stuff up because it is a translation. So what does he have in his hand? He has a toxin in his hand. Well, I would say back in 1611, they didn't know what a toxin was, right? Now, if you look up the word toxin, if you look up the Greek word toxin that they translate here, it says having been produced from a mother or a plant. So it's biological. So it says, in his hand, he had a toxin the same as is produced from a plant or a mother. That's what it actually says, okay? So it's a toxin, and it's biological, and he has it in his hand, and he's been given a crown, and his job is to change the world according to his narrative. Okay, I think that the coronavirus is the perfect picture of what, and I think that the Lord is showing us in these last days what this is all about. Which, by the way, by the time that you get to the third, you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. What if that's a vaccine? Right? What if it's, you can't participate in anything in the economy whatsoever unless the government says, boom, we've done all your social tracing, we know exactly who you're in contact with, and you have our vaccine within you. Wow. That scenario can actually happen now, right on? It can't it? It's like, wow, absolutely. Like you're not an official global citizen unless you're part of the global program defined by the Antichrist that we're here to help. This is for your safety. He's on a white horse. Okay, well, I see that and I go, wow. Do I think that the coronavirus is I'm just saying no, it's a type and it's a shadow and it's a huge picture of what the Lord is showing us now. So that we can be a part of the narrative of the Word of God and not the political correct global socialist narrative, which doesn't have the truth and doesn't have the Word of God in it. Who says, man, we're here to set you free, but you're not allowed to work anymore. It's okay. We'll send you $1,000 every couple of months. Say thank you. No, I'm not going to say thank you. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say to that. I'm not going to say thank you. So with all that said, I've been thinking about this a whole lot. And let me tell you, every single person is plagued. They have toxins within their life that fall under four different categories, okay? The first one is the narrative of who is actually the king. Is your house actually a Jesus house, or is it somebody else's house? It has to do with what is the word that is within your life? Is it, do you believe in creation or do you believe in evolution? Is it, do you believe that a marriage covenant is a real covenant and you do not have sex with anybody else whatsoever? Or do you believe something else? You believe, you know, what is it? What is it that, what is the word or the controlling factor in your life? Because the white horse shows up to say, will you please let me in? And I've been given dominion to conquer, and will you bow your knee to it? The second one is the red horse, and it has to do with attack. The third one is finances, and the fourth one is the fear of impending doom and not being able to finish well. Now, within your own life, your entire world is victorious or it's not victorious based upon, number one, whose word do you live by? Number two, how do you handle attack? Number three, how you handle your finances? And number four, how you handle your hope and your want life. And that's every single day for all of us. That's it. I've never heard anybody preach this in my life. This is just something that God has been talking to me about. And I've been looking at this. Now, when it comes to us as a team, when it comes to us as a church and us trying to deal in the reality of being a team that works its butt off, you guys are such hardworking people, and I'm just so grateful. The fact that you're here proves that you're hardworking, and I'm just so grateful for you. I can't tell you how grateful I am. I'm grateful for Greg coming out and spending Saturday on a day that was his day off out at the food bank so that he could capture that for the 700 Club. I'm grateful for that the walls are painted and that everything is taken care of and people had to get out of their norm to be able to do those things. I could go all the way around this room. I'm so grateful for our calling center and that our calling center has been stepping up and that our partnerships are growing. I'm grateful for our youth being out there and greeting people. I'm grateful for Children's Church. I'm grateful for the hard work that is in this. In the midst of the hard work that all of us are doing to make all this thing work, I want to tell you these four areas right here are the things that either bless how we handle these things or either the things that either bless what it is that we're doing or curse what it is that we're doing. We're either going to have Jesus show up as the picture of the narrative of our heart, as a picture of he's the one that handles all of our warfare, he's the one that handles all of our finances, and he's the one that gives us hope. Or we're going to have the Antichrist involved. And remember, whenever the New Testament was being written, he said the Antichrist even now is today. Right? So we always think of the Antichrist as a person, which he will be personified by a person. But the Antichrist spirit is alive today. It's the antithesis of what the Spirit of God is. Or we're going to have a different narrative within our heart. And just tell you this, if you're in a marriage and if you're imagining your life without imagining your marriage first, there's a different writer in your life. If you are thinking about things and you're not thinking about the truth, but you're thinking about a fantasy and you feel like the fantasy is offering you something better than the reality is offering you, there's a new horse in your life, a different white horse.
That's good.
Right? So we have to constantly be full of the Holy Spirit. We have to be full of the Word of God. And we have to live a disciplined life where we know what to think and what not to think. I have got a huge stack of hate mail for railing on everybody and say, quit watching the news 24 hours a day because the devil's in it. And people are so mad at me over that. How dare you cuss Fox News? I'm not cussing Fox News. I thank God for Fox News. I don't know what we would do if we didn't have Fox News. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ defines a fox as a demonic political spirit. He told Herod, go tell that old fox that I'm here and I'm doing this. An antichrist political spirit is in a fox, and it's called Fox News. And the huge majority of the church is being deceived by something. And I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm just not. I'm sorry, but as much as I love President Trump, he's been deceived through this whole thing as well. There's a lot of deceit that is involved in all this. Something shows up and it has power to rule and reign, and everybody bows its knee to it. Without ranting on that, we have never applied the logic to the coronavirus to anything else in the history of the world. ever. Over 1 million people a year die of car wrecks. 1 million people. We've had 80,000 Americans die. 80,000 Americans die of the coronavirus. We have 1 million Americans a year die. 1 million of car wrecks. We don't say nobody is allowed to ever drive again because we can't be safe. We've never applied the logic that we have applied to the coronavirus to anything else ever. And how this has come in and it just made sense to everybody is beyond me. I've never seen anything like it. Like, wow. The big news is not the coronavirus. The big news is the willingness of everybody to bow their knee to it. It shows up on a white horse and it's given a crown and has the authority to conquer. Right on. So if we're going to look in our own church, if we're going to look in our own staff culture, right? And it's my job to make sure that the culture of the house is what I want it to be. It's not my job to make sure that every method that you do is what I want it to be. Right? That's not my job. My job is to make sure is to be the chief architect of the culture of the house. And culture is defined by values. Culture is defined, but the word culture is simply the way we do things around here. That's what culture is, right? What we make a big deal out of or what we don't make a big deal out of defines the culture. So here we are, man. We're taking on hell with a water pistol. We're constantly in over our head. We are constantly trying to make everything work. We're constantly doing way more than any ministry we've ever been a part of is doing. In front of the lens and behind the lens, in the official services and not in the official services. And while we have to deal with the narrative of what we live by, right? We have to deal with constant attacks. We have to constantly deal with, are we hopeful? And are we full of the Holy Spirit? And what is the next go? Can I tell you what you don't have to deal with? Is finances. And I don't know if you know what a big deal that is. It's not that we don't have financial challenges. I'm just telling you, there is nothing that is being stopped because we do not have the money to do it. And I'm about to show you why. And I need you to know why. Okay? In your own house, if this is always your issue right here, and if you don't get mastery over your own finances, you will never stop having problems, ever. If you don't have constant hope for your house and for your marriage and for your kids, you know, the spirit of death shows up to say, oh, you thought it was going to do this. It ain't. It's over now. It's the fear of impending doom. And it has nothing in its hand. Right? What's real is you're going to have violence in your life. And here's what violence looks like on the redeemed version. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force. You're the aggressor in violence. You're not just the receiver of violence. You are actually the aggressor. That means you ride ATVs. It means that you get out and you do stuff. It means that you do stuff. And there's violence attached to it. How you handle that determines the health of your world. So it has to do with your word and the position of your heart. It has to do with your hope life and your want life and the promises of God within your life. It has to do with how you handle attacks, and it has to do with how you handle your finances. And you have to have mastery in all four of these areas. You have to. These are four areas of your life that you need to review. And you need to write these things down or something and figure out what the four horsemen are in your own life concerning these four different categories, which is the narrative in the center of your life, how you handle attack, how you handle finances, and how you handle your hope life and your want life. And the threat, the unseen threat of something's going to show up and end it all. How do you deal with that? If you do not have mastery in all four areas of this of your life in this, you're not advancing, you're surviving. And you have to grow in mastery of these things.